We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church of Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I serve as the lead pastor here today, and I am so happy. There's just God's presence is here. God's doing such amazing things already in this place. We've seen somebody baptized. God is doing such amazing stuff, and He's not done yet. We're about to receive the Word of God, but before today's over, we're going to come to this altar to have a talk with Jesus, all right? I have an important sermon for you today, and it will feel awkward. It will feel challenging. Parts of this sermon will make you feel sad. Parts of this sermon will make you question things and make you go, what am I supposed to do with this? All right? At the very beginning, I just want to beg you, ask you, please stick with me. And could you preach with me today? Anybody want to preach with the preacher today? Anybody? All right, good, good, good. We're going to dive right into it. Here it is. Racism is a sin. Can you say that sentence with me? Racism is a sin. I love my Facebook friends, and Facebook friends, if you're watching right here, I know we got the live stream going. Facebook friends, I absolutely love you. But I asked some Facebook friends a question. It was just, hey, what would you have your church acknowledge when it comes to race in the world? What would you have your church acknowledge? And I had some friends say, I don't think the church should acknowledge race and racism because it just divides us, and just talking about it creates a problem. All right. And I understand, don't want to rock boats, don't want to cause problems, but wait. Is the church called to preach against sin? Yeah, we are. So are we supposed to put this sin to the side and go preach against alcoholism? Is that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to put this one to the side and go preach against greed? Oh, no. We're going to preach against racism today. So can you say this sentence with me and just declare it? Racism is a sin. So right now, at the very beginning, I just want to say we condemn racism of all kinds. We condemn racial supremacy. We condemn hatred. I was around 14 years old, sitting in front of my TV. I was just going around the channels looking for something to watch. Cartoons weren't on yet. So you remember that as a kid? You're just like, my goodness. Oh, what was that? Oh, it's just a commercial. It was a cartoon in a commercial. It was almost like watching a cartoon. Anyway, I'm just like going around trying to find something to watch. And then I found something ridiculous to watch. It caught my eye so much that I had to stay and watch it for a second, and it was something called the Jerry Springer Show. All right, so right here, kids, do me a favor. Do not ever Google Jerry Springer Show. All right, just kids, listen to your pastor. Don't ever Google Jerry Springer Show. But I remember this moment very well because they were featuring KKK members. If you don't know what KKK is, you probably live under a rock. Let me explain to you. It means Ku Klux Klan, and it is a racial supremacy group, white supremacists. And on screen was a man with a white sheet on his head, and he was hate-filled. And I immediately went, I know about this. This is crazy and it's wrong. I dismiss it just out of hand at the age of 14. And then when he said hateful things about people of different skin colors, I'm like, my goodness, this guy doesn't know my best friend Chester, who lives next door, who is that skin color. This guy's insane. He's totally wrong. He's wrong. I just don't get him. Dismissing this, dismissing that, the more hateful he was, the more I realized, God, this guy's insane. He's just crazy. But as shocking as all this was, I wasn't ready for the next thing that jumped into the TV screen. What shocked me was what he had in his hand. He was holding something in his hand. He was holding a Bible. And I got to tell you, I love my Sunday school teachers, but I wasn't prepared for this moment. Sunday school teacher did not prepare me for this moment. All right, I can dismiss this, I can dismiss this. But wait, this guy's got a Bible in his hand, and he seems to be quoting out of this Bible. And I was not sure what to think. And for too much in my life, I tried to forget about the fact that the dude had a Bible in his hand, because I didn't know what to do with that. Today, we're going to address the thing that he had in his hand. It can be a shock to see how some people use the Bible. Oh yeah, it absolutely can. How some people handle the Bible. We're instructed from the Bible to rightly divide the word of truth. And it can be freaky how some people just pick a little verse here and there. But you know this, y'all are on social media. And you have TVs with TV preachers on it. All right. Sorry, TV preachers. All right. I learned that day back in 1994 that many racial supremacists use the Bible and still call themselves Christians. And they still believe that Jesus is happy with them. Today at Redemption Church, I want us to take a stand for what Scripture says. And I'm going to present you with a different kind of sermon today. I promise you I'm going somewhere you don't expect me to go. Please travel with me. Today I'm going to present you with scriptures that are used by a white supremacist pastor in 1952 during the Civil Rights Movement. Right from the mouth of a white supremacist, we're going to let him talk to us from his Bible that he holds in his hand for just a moment. Let's see if white supremacy has a biblical leg to stand on. All right, so the pastor's name, his name is William Lester, and I just didn't even want to tell you the last name, but his last name is Blessing. William Lester Blessing. And I've checked with our wonderful care pastor. Do we love our care pastor? Yeah, we do. No matter what his hairstyle is, we love him. His name is Marshall Blessing, and I checked with him. Marshall Blessing has no relation to William Lester Blessing, all right? William declares this. These are quotes right here. White supremacy is taught in the Bible, verified by history, justified by civilization, and instinctively believed by all races, their conscience bearing witness to this truth. So Redemption, let's take a look and see if this is true, that actually it is taught in the Bible and that it is true. What we will focus on mainly is this first part, that white supremacy is taught in the Bible. William starts off, as most would expect, in the Garden of Eden. He starts in Eden to show that racism goes back to the early parts of Genesis. God always was racist. Basically, that he has us read Genesis 3 and 1. Check it out. Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. All right. So he reads the scripture and then he offers commentary that the serpent was not an animal, but a serpent race of people. And that they were different race than Adam. He preaches that Adam and Eve were, of course, white. And that the serpent race, that refers to races of different color. So wait, we're looking at this verse right here, Genesis 3 and 1. Do we see that anywhere in this verse? I don't know. Is it so crazy to just interpret the Bible as being straightforward? A serpent is actually a serpent? A snake is actually just a snake, all right? So I always thought the serpent's just that simple, just a serpent. And if racism is so dominant to this biblical account, wouldn't it be more pronounced? How about pronounced at all? It's not pronounced at all. So then he jumps, all right? This is always what people want to do when they use their Bible to prove their point. They jump around. Everybody jump up and get down. Anyone? No? All right. Cypress Hill? Was that Cypress Hill? I'm not sure who that was. But Genesis, he jumps to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, where God is calling Abram, who we know also later is named Abraham. Let's look at it. Genesis 12 and 2. God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So the commentary comes back. The commentary reads, with Abram, God begins to select from the white race to make a great nation. His words, definitely not mine. I think we can see that God selects Abram as a starting point to form a great nation. I get that, right? But nowhere in this verse does it say white. Doesn't ever say a white nation. It doesn't ever say a white race. In fact, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, are from Ur. Ur is a great name for a place to be from. I'm from Ur. U-R is how he spelled Ur. From among the Chaldeans. And, you know, I've got a real problem with how he's interpreting this scripture because this is the western shore of Persia. Think about somebody that's from Persia. Think about the tone of their skin color for a moment. The people in this area are known to have dark-colored skin. So if we're going to make this about the color of skin, you might want to use a different verse, just saying. But here is what is really important about this passage that he's missing. Nowhere in all of Scripture does it mention the importance of Abraham's race. But the Bible talks about what's important with Abraham. Can somebody tell me the Bible underlines what as being important about Abraham? His faith, that he is the father of faith. He is the father of the faithful. Not Abraham's race is ever underlined in Scripture. What is important about Abraham is that he is the father of the faithful. Can you say that? He's the father of the faithful. Abraham is given the promise, but the promise is not transmitted through a pure race of people. The Bible tells us how the promise is transmitted. You want to see? Romans chapter 4, verse 16. William Lester, I hope you're reading along with us. The promise of what? The promise of Abraham comes by
faith.
Somebody, I must be getting this word wrong. It comes by what?
Faith.
So that it may be by
grace.
It comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. The promise comes by what?
Faith.
Not skin color?
No.
Not the amount of melanin in your skin? No, no. The promise is received by what?
Faith.
By grace. And Abraham is father to people not based on race, but by faith and grace. Somebody say this phrase with me. Grace, not race. Grace, not race. It's about grace, not race. You can clap your hands if you believe that's true. It's about grace, not race. And since William quoted Genesis 12 and 2, let's make sure he knows about verse 3. Because verse 3 says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Can I tell you something? Racial supremacy has never brought a blessing to anyone. All nations are going to be blessed through you. Racial supremacy never blesses other people. It is a curse to other people. William Lester, check out this verse. You are supposed to be a blessing that comes from God, that flows through you to all people, and it makes no bones about what color those people are. You are not supposed to withhold blessing that comes from God through you. Withhold it from black people. Withhold it from Mexicans. Withhold it from Chinese. Withhold it from the people you don't like. Come on now. If you truly are an heir to the promise, then you will have blessing throw from you to all peoples on earth. That's the kind of God we serve.
Yeah.
He wants us to bless all people. He wants to bless all people through us. Redemption Church, He wants to use you to bless the whole world. That's what my God's kingdom looks like. Blessings flowing to everybody. William jumps to describe the skin color of Abraham's descendants. All right, so he jumps to Jacob and Rebekah. Jacob's really important because Jacob is renamed something. What is he renamed? He's renamed Israel, and this is a big deal, okay? He's renamed Israel. Well, he jumps to two verses to do this. In Genesis 25, 27, Jacob is described as a plain man. Look at this verse real quick. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. All right. And then let's look at Genesis 26 and 7. Rebekah is described as fair. All right. And the men of the place, look at the last sentence there. Because she was fair to look upon. All right. So William is trying to tell us that the words used for plain and fair mean white-skinned. That's what he tries to say. Because, you know, in the English language, you know, if you are fair-skinned, that means that you might sunburn a lot. I know a little bit about that. It means that you're whiter. That's how the English language works. But there's a problem here. These are Hebrew words, William Lester. These are Hebrew words. The words in Hebrew do not have anything to do with skin color here. The word plain is tam, and it means undefiled and morally upright. They looked at him and said, that's a man of God. They didn't look at him and said, that's a white dude. All right? And the word for fair is tob, and it means that she was just pretty to look at. So we have somebody that looks like a moral, upstanding man of God. We have somebody that just looks pretty to look at. We have nothing to do with skin color. Are you following me so far? See, there is no evidence to support that Abraham and his family are white. They are like the people of the Middle East today. They are dark-complected. And the Bible never describes her skin color because the Bible places zero importance on skin color. Not a deal with God. Although William goes out of Scripture to describe Jacob and Rebekah as white, he then offers a very convoluted argument that only one of Jacob's sons is white. And this part was just hard to understand. He preaches that, how many children did Israel have? Jacob becomes Israel, he has 12 children. All right. He preaches that 11 of his sons are dark-skinned and only one of his sons, Benjamin, is white-skinned because Benjamin's born after Jacob's name's changed to Israel. And so really there's only one Israelite. It's Benjamin. If that makes sense to you, it doesn't make sense to me. These are claims not made in Scripture, of course. Scripture never says there's really only one Israelite tribe. It's Benjamin. Forget that. No, not at all. Not even close. He uses this argument, then he tries to create this flimsy argument and then pivots 2,000 years to Jesus Christ and tries to tell us that's why Jesus was white. What? Yeah, he makes that jump. Jesus was white and 11 of his 12 disciples were white. There was only one disciple that wasn't white. He says, of course, that was Judas. Judas, all right. Because Benjamin, why? why is that? Because Benjamin, convoluted argument that doesn't make sense. You following him? Good, if you aren't. All right. I don't care what color skin Jesus had. Can I tell you real quick? People have arguments about that. And I'll never forget. There's this thing. Everybody kind of pictures Jesus in their own color skin. It's a thing. I remember being shocked the first time I saw a picture of Jesus where he was darker complected. I was like, what? What's going on? That confused me at first. But I've come to realize that's not what saves me. No. Does his skin save me? No. What saves me? His blood. His blood saves me. So I don't care what color Jesus had. Can I tell you, I don't care what color you imagine Jesus to be when you're worshiping him. I don't care what color. He could be green. I don't care what color he is. I love him, and he is the Lord of my life. And can also tell you, I don't care what color skin you have. I love you, and you're my brother and sister in the Lord. We are the body of Christ together. You can clap for that one, because I'm wild about that. I'm just as wild about that one as the other point. We have heard from William Lester Blessing. In a moment, I'm going to tell you what the Bible has to say about race. But first, I want us to acknowledge things. Can we acknowledge some things real quick? Here it is. The church has gotten it wrong. Okay, we're not in a position to say we've always gotten this right. No, the church has gotten it wrong. And you may feel defensive in the next moment. You may feel guilty in the next moment. You might feel a little bitterness and resentment in the next moments. You might just feel awkward. Wish you had like a remote control to fast forward me. But I got to tell you, if we are ever going to heal scars, we must acknowledge wounds. Do you follow me? We're not going to just ignore it. We're going to admit it. You can't, can you have a sin forgiven if it's not confessed? So we're going to confess today. We must acknowledge the wrong so that we can repent. Many of American Christianity's historical heroes, we're talking like 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, we're not talking Book of Acts, we're talking this time period. Many of those American Christianity's historical heroes defended slavery, and they did it by using Scripture. They incorrectly asserted that slavery was God's punishment for sin or a divinely ordained hierarchy. There's something you can look up. It is called the Curse of Canaan, and it is bunk. It's bunk. Don't have time to talk about it today, but can you just quote me on that? Anybody ask you about the Curse of Canaan? Can you just say, Chris Fluitt says, that's bunk. All right, got me. Quote me correctly on it. All right. Some argued that slavery is necessary, get this, for a robust economy. See, we got to have slavery to have the robust economy so that we can have the robust economy to spread the gospel. See the argument? What kind of gospel at the end of the day are we proclaiming if we are dealing with slavery? What kind of gospel is this again? Got to have a slavery to have a robust economy so that we can send out missionaries. Oh, I'm sorry, it does not work that way. I can name some leading people like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, actually owned slaves. There were pastors that owned slaves, of course, Christians that owned slaves. Now, it's true, not all Christians held that opinion. The abolitionist movement started within the church. It started within the church. Yeah. The abolitionist movement, okay, so amen. Not just hating on the church here, but let's be clear. It's clear that the majority of white Christians held racist views. That was wrong. That was wrong. One such person is Robert Louis Dabney, a Presbyterian theologian in the late 1800s. He wrote a 100-page defense of slavery in his book. The book is entitled A Defense of Virginia. And then after the defeat of the South in the Civil War, he wrote a second volume. Dabney used genetic arguments for his race's superiority and the inferiority of other races. That's disgusting. The preacher tragically argues that black people and white people are not the same species. Can I just stop you right there, Dabney? Because if we are not the same species, then God has to send another Savior for the other species. In the time after the Emancipation Proclamation, so slavery is ended and they're given freedom, Dabney argued that his denomination should not ordain black men or they will eventually become our equals. Dabney drummed up enough fear for his denomination to deny ordination to people of color. One of the words he touted was amalgamation. Amalgamation. If we allow them to come in among us, they will become equal and unified with us. Let's not become defensive about this sordid past. The past cannot be undone. And it's pointless to try to cover up the past. Do you agree? Yeah. Absolutely. Healing comes to acknowledging and confessing our wrongs and then repenting. Right. Now, there are several other things we could go down. There are many wrongs we could talk about. But we're going to pivot right here and come back to this idea that racism is a sin. Can you say that sentence with me one more time? Racism is a sin. It's a sin. It's wrong. We confess it. And racism shows up in different ways. Racism was in American slavery, and when slavery ended, racism continued. Would you agree? Absolutely, all right. Racism was in Jim Crow laws and segregation. And when those were struck down and integration happened, guess what? Racism continued. And there are current signs of racism in our world. Absolutely. There are statistics that show racism is continuing on systematic levels. No matter what our government does, it appears that racism continues. Of course, that's true. Because racism isn't a legislative issue. It is a sin issue. You can't legislate someone's heart. You can't legislate someone's mind. I'll tell you what, sin is a racism. Racism is a sin problem, and only the Lord Jesus can set us free from that bondage. Thank you for clapping for that. I love that I'm in a church that believes that. Racism continues today. It continues in people's minds. My wife, my wonderful wife, Sarah, was teaching a Sunday school lesson in another church, a sister church of ours in Arlington, Texas. She was filling in for the normal teacher. She was substituting. If you think Sunday school teaching's tough, try substitute Sunday school teaching. Right. And the lesson, well, she's handed the lesson plan and she's handed the crafts, and then she's said, they say, good luck, we're praying for you, and they run away. That's how it works. All right. The lesson was on sin, and they're using visual aids. So they use the visual aids of construction paper, and there's two kinds of construction paper. There is white construction paper, and then there's black construction paper. You got already what the visual is, right? That, well, the lesson went that the black was sin, but Jesus makes us white and clean. You probably had that Sunday school lesson yourself, but the kids were really into the lesson, but a sweet little girl named Caitlin raised her hand. A sweet little girl of color. She just raised her hand. She said, Miss Sarah, why is black a bad color? She just asked that, and you saw the wheels turning in her head. You just knew what was going on. Is black a bad color, and white is a good color? I'm so proud of Sarah. I'm so glad she's there. Sometimes God puts you in the right place at the right time with the right words. And Sarah just told her that actually if color is a sin, the Bible says, though your sins be red as scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. And if your sins are red as crimson, they're going to be white as wool. But really what you need to know, Caitlin, is sin isn't a color. God made all the colors, and they're all beautiful. And He's using every color in the world. And it's not bad. It's not bad. The color black is not bad. The color black is beautiful. Can I tell you today, the color black is beautiful. The color white is beautiful. The color brown, all the shades, every shade of the color is beautiful. You are God's workmanship, the Bible says. You are His tapestry. You think He's in love with the mountains He created and the beauty of the sky. I mean, that's good and everything. But I think what all of heaven is wild about is this beautiful tapestry of skin color in here. And all of our different cultural backgrounds. And how we are all one and united and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Racism is one of the many reasons we need Jesus Christ to come save this world. We can't allow racism to continue anywhere in our sphere of influence. And sometimes we have been reluctant to join the fray. Sometimes we've been reluctant to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. But I'm telling you right now, as Christians, we cannot allow racism to appear anywhere in our sphere of influence. God is calling us to put an end to racism. Racism doesn't have to continue in the heart and the mind of a blood-washed Christian. Okay. We've heard from William Lester, and we have acknowledged our history. Now, can I tell you what the Bible says about race? Are you ready? Anybody going to preach with me a little bit? What the Bible says about race? It says all people were created by God and were created in His image. Genesis 1:27. All people come from the same family. That makes us all family, the family of Adam and Eve, with God as the true Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. God created us from one blood. Acts 17:26. You see, that's why Jesus' blood covers everybody. If he had to die based on skin color, he'd just have to be coming. He had to come for the whites. He had to come for the blacks. He had to come from the Latinos. No, but we're created from one blood. So His blood covers everybody. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. Psalm 24:1. You belong to the Lord. God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears Him and does what is right is accepted by Him. Acts 10:34-35. Our identity is not based on race, sex, or economic standing. Our identity is based on Jesus Christ, and we are all one in Him. Look at this verse. Galatians 3:28. I love this verse. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond, that's slave, or free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can clap for that. Thank you, Lord. The blood of Jesus has purchased persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's what Revelation 5:9 says. Throughout eternity, we will gather with a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language in worship to the risen Savior. Revelation 7:9. The church of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, it is not whitewashed. It is blood washed. Can you say it's blood washed? Can I just go ahead and tell you, God is not against interracial marriage. It's a major sticking point with white supremacists. There are plenty of examples of intermarriage that God did not rain down hellfire and brimstone on. The key one is Moses, but we'll move on. People of color are actually a major feature of Scripture. We are commanded by Jesus to love our neighbor, and you don't get to choose who your neighbor is or who your neighbor isn't. That's the point of Jesus's story. He then uses the Samaritan. Oh man, you know the point of this story, right? They're asking, yeah, but who is our neighbor? And he's like, well, there's this dude that all of you hate, because that's what a Samaritan was to them. They hated racially a Samaritan. They hated the history of a Samaritan. They hated that Samaritans were even in their country. How dare those Samaritans, they were mixed. So they hated them. But God, Jesus Christ, says that you need to love your neighbor, and then uses a Samaritan to teach the point, which was a challenge to the racism of the Hebrews. That's in Luke chapter 10. You can read that whole 25-37. How about this verse? 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. I want to speak to anybody that has problems loving somebody of a different skin color or a different background or whatever it could be. I want to tell you that if you say you love God who you haven't seen, but you can't love the person that's right in front of you, you are getting it all wrong. You're getting it all wrong. It doesn't work that way. The KKK member holding the Bible needs to repent. We can't love God and hate our brother. If anybody is somehow watching this, if you're in the room, we love that you're here. We love that you're here. But let me tell you, if this hit you in any way today, you need to repent. Somebody watching online, listening to the podcast, my goodness, please listen to me. Repent today. Repent. Maybe somebody hurt you in the past. Please let it go. Maybe you got some past stuff. Let it go. Let it go. Why don't you cover it with the blood? That's what repentance will do. God's word says so much more about how white people, black people, Asian people, Spanish people, people of every nation, every language, and every skin color should love each other. We don't have time to go over it all, but I want to bring you back to this major point. Racism is a sin. What must we do with our sin? I repent of racism. Now, I want to talk to you real quick. There's a place in your Bible, I believe it's Jeremiah. Jeremiah says these amazing prayers. He repents for the whole nation. He says, and he starts repenting of things he didn't do, but his nation did. And his fellow believers did. And he says he owns it like he did it. Father, forgive us of our paganism. Forgive me of my paganism and my idolatry worship. That's like how we prayed it. Can I tell you something today? We need to repent of racism. And if you are sitting in this place going, no, that's not me, I don't need to repent of that, Jeremiah would tell you different. Repent of it for your nation. Repent of it for the history of the church. Repent of it in your heart and in your mind. We're about to talk to God in this place. I'm going to ask our musician to come. We're about to fill this altar and talk to Him. I want to challenge you to come to the front of your church today and I just challenge you to do something in this moment that just takes a step forward, cleanses your heart, ask the Lord to forgive you. I believe we all have reasons to repent. Let's just get real. We could all do better when it comes to living in the love of God. And maybe you don't have issue with anybody's color, but maybe you have issues with other things. Repent today. We have all done and thought racist things. Let's get real. Sometimes they're inadvertent. Sometimes they're absolutely on purpose. We need to repent. We have done and thought these things. We have been in the room with racist things said, and we did nothing. We were complicit out of comfort. Would you join me in repenting of that today? The history of the church calls us to repent. The history of our nation calls us to repent. And Redemption Church, can we just be honest? We could do so much better as a church in our community fighting racism. So let's repent. Redemption Church, God deserves so much better from us. So let's repent. Redemption Church, we're called to go into all the world. We can't go into all the world and hold on to this ugly thing. So let's repent. My last thing I'm going to bring to you is this. There is no white supremacy. There is no black supremacy. There is no racial supremacy. There is only Jesus supremacy. Y'all stick with me. We're almost done. I know there's a child right here. Stick with me. I'm going to say this again. There is only Jesus supremacy. Amen. Only Jesus. He's got the supreme power. Only Him. So, you know what repentance is? Repentance is saying, God, I want Your power over this. Hands off. I want Your spirit on this. I want Your healing on this. I declare that You are the supreme power over my heart and over my mind, over my worries. Maybe you're in this place today and you are in desperate need. You're like needing a miracle. Why don't you declare, Jesus, I declare that You're supreme over this situation. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's you're just have something in your past that you can't ever outrun. Declare Him to be supreme today by standing up right now, coming to this altar. Come right now. Come, come all over this house. Stand up. Let's come. And I want you to begin to pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, this is how it works. You come in the first 2 feet right where I'm standing. And that lets us know you want us to come pray with you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, we're just going to let you be all by yourself talking to the Lord. Come in the first 2 feet. We'll pray with you. Come on, let's repent. Let's ask Jesus Christ to wash us clean of all this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person that's in this room right now. Wash our hearts. Wash our minds, God. Lord, forgive us of racism. God, forgive us for getting it wrong, God. Lord, forgive us, God. Lord, you've called us out of darkness. You've called us into marvelous light, God. Lord, I pray for America and I pray for the churches in America that we would turn away from racism. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse our hearts, God. Lord, that you would take away double-mindedness in us, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would unify your church, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring black people to Redemption Church and they'd be baptized and filled with your presence. That you'd bring Asian people to this church, God, and fill them with your spirit and baptize them, washing away their sins. Lord, that white people would be here, that Latinos would be here, God, that every tribe and tongue, every skin color, God, would be here. And let us be a church that can minister to them, God. In Jesus' name, I pray for people that are bound by racism. In the name of Jesus, we come against that sin and we ask you to set them free from it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's continue to talk to the Lord in this house. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.